dog. You have to have a bag.
I will bring a bag. I didn't bring a bag today. I'm really
sorry
about
that. The
dog
without the bag, it's incomplete. It's a marriage. The bag and the dog. They go together.
Just don't see why you had to yell at me.
I'm yelling for society, for everybody. It's not just me.
Got it.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hello, I'm world-famous television news broadcaster Brendan McLaughlin, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast. That makes you really smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Koontz. I'm host of this program. It's a somber day. I feel somber for some reason. I don't have my usual amount of energy. I've just been bummed with all the news that's been coming out. It's just been more nonsense. Every day, stuff that you knew was true in your heart, but was just considered a conspiracy theory until a few days ago. And then you're right. And that's bad that you're right, because you want to have faith in the system. So there's this James O'Keefe guy that does this Project Veritas, I believe it's called, exposed a major corruption inside the Democratic Party that found that there's, we knew this, right? We knew that they were paying people through these shell companies to rile up Trump supporters, go in and bait them and get them to punch them in the face. But that part, you know, I don't even really have a problem with. That's just dirty pool, but it's a strategy, I guess. And so that was proven in this first tape. But then the second one, which is scary, is the planning of voter fraud into upcoming elections, busing people in, getting people together on a mass scale, buying them cars at used car auctions, and getting them to drive to the polls, vote twice, go to another state and vote. This is why I don't understand this. They keep saying that having an ID is racist against people. To have an ID to vote, dude, go get an ID. It's $5. I'm willing to have some sort of tax thing that provides free identification for people. This is ridiculous. If you don't have an ID, then you shouldn't be able to vote. Sorry, but there's certain things that we have to protect against in the world today. Sorry, dude, but go get an ID. So where do you go from here? Unfortunately, it's not going to change anybody's mind one way or another, because it's really about ideologies. It's not really about the ways of going about it. But if it's your team, if you're on the Democratic side and it's your team, I guess you don't really care. It's just an advantage for you to win. And I think what they're going to do in the future to try to, they're not going to prevent it from happening. I mean, they're doing it. I think they're just going to make it legal, I guess, for both sides to do it. I don't know. I mean, what's the point in that, I guess? You have to have some sort of advantage. But how do these people not get in trouble for this? This is fraud. It's against the law. There should be charges brought up on these people for conspiracy at the very least. But the most that's happened so far is these people, Scott Fovell and Bob Cramer have just, Bob Cramer resigned from his post at his stupid thing, whatever. I don't remember the name of it. And then Fovell got fired. But there should be some sort of accountability here. And I mean, it's only been a few days, too, since this has been released. And so far, nothing. But maybe something will happen. I don't know. What can you do? I mean, I'm just going to be glad when this election is over. And I'm scared for the future. I'm scared. This is just, it's a between a blubbering buffoon and now a confirmed criminal at this point. You know she knew about this. This was coming from the highest heads of the DNC. The DNC that she helped get Debbie Wasserman Schultz the head of, who was her campaign manager back in 2008 when she lost to Barack Obama. Tim Kaine was the head of the DNC in 2000. I think he resigned in 2011. Why did he resign? And then Wasserman Schultz replaced him. And now he's the VP candidate. He must have been promised something for his resignation. Why would you leave your post as the head of the Democratic Party? I'm not saying the whole Democratic Party is corrupt. But there's named few that definitely had their hands and were playing some dirty pool here. You see, Trump talks about election fraud, and the media portrays it as it's a conspiracy theory. When there's plots on video from the head of the DNC talking about committing voter fraud. How do we even know? It's unknowable. Is it worth voting this time? I think no. I don't think it matters at this point. But I guess you got to go ahead and try, right? That's what my dad said that kind of turned me around on the voting thing. Back in 2008, I said I wasn't going to vote. And he's like, look, you might be right. It's possible that it's not going to make a difference. You have that already. But what does it take? You have 48 cents to mail in your ballot? And what if it does make a difference? So that's what you got to go with, I guess. Yeah, I guess it's worth it. But it's really scary. And the fact that nobody really cares, that the media still calls it a conspiracy theory. There's videos of dudes, I was just watching computer programmers that can hack the voting machines. All you need is 7 minutes alone with the voting machine. You crack it open. You have a chip that some computer programmer made, that can switch the votes. And you put the new chip in and take the other one out. And there you go. It's done. It'd be nice to vote online. I was talking with somebody about that the other day. Like, they should just do it online. Yeah, that would be great. But there's just no way that you can keep that secure and honest. You can't even keep our system now honest at this point, it seems like. So, I don't know. Where do you go from here? I guess you got to... It's worth a shot, right? Roll the dice. Anywho... Let's just get to the show today. It's been really bugged me. It's really been something that's bugged me the past few days. I got goosebumps. And I guess maybe I'm just being dramatic. I don't know. Everybody knows this stuff. We're not learning anything new. Today on the show, we have Mark Stevens. He goes by Aurelius Artist. And I believe he's bringing another artist, Brooklyn. They have a show coming up here on November 5th at the Blue Goose. Blue Goose is located at 48 9th Street North here in St. Petersburg. And that's going to be Saturday, November 5th, starting at 8 p.m. The show is called No One Gives a F About Art. They just want to get drunk and laid, which is true. Couldn't have nailed it anymore, I think. So they're going to be coming in here to talk about the upcoming show, about their work. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Slybar.com and Truvi Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. What's Chrissy's phone number? I always forget to write this down. TruviSalonAndSpa.com. And our phone number is 727-329-9751. Make sure you like the Facebook page, facebook.com/ HMB Radio, like Radio St. Pete's page as well, facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. Twitter, @home_made_man. For me, just Radio St. Pete for Radio St. Pete. You can find me on Instagram, by all that, Snapchat, The Homemade Man, if you want to add me. And if you want to call the show or text the show or shows, 813-693-2124. If you're listening to this on Radio St. Pete, we have other shows that on my little network thing that we do. We got James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast and Ian Beckel's Dignitary Radio Podcast, where he talks about Bucks football. So we didn't do one this week. He canceled on me last minute, which is already concerning because we got one in the can. And then he was already like, yeah, we're supposed to do one Monday. I was going to just put it out Monday on the HMB Radio podcast feed. You can find that on iTunes and Stitcher or HMBRadio.com. And he said, yeah, not going to do it this week. Don't have time. So that's a little concerning. Week two, already canceling podcasts. But he was right. You know, Bucks were off last week. So what are you going to talk about? And I think he's mostly focusing on Bucks talk. So hopefully we'll have a new one next week, my man Ian. Hopefully. We'll see. So I guess we'll just wait for Mark Stevens and Brooklyn to get here, talk about the art scene here in St. Pete. I haven't had a visual artist on in quite a long time. So I think the last one was Emily Miller, and I think she's in New York now. So what else? I think that's it. Oh, listen, check out the City Hall podcast. We had a good podcast with Mike Jeffries. He's the Parks and Recreation Director. We talked a lot about Williams Park, what's going to be happening with that. We talked Abercrombie Park. There's a new excavation type of thing. Not excavation, but apparently it's like Indian ruins that are there. So they just bought that land. And it was just a good chat all around. You can check that out on the Radio St. Pete archive. Just search for the City Hall broadcast. All right, so let's wait for Mark and Brooklyn to get here talking visual arts in St. Petersburg. Mark and Brooke, welcome.
Thank you.
Here, pull that thing right up to your mouth. You got to get these closed because they're not the best.
That's what she said.
So welcome, Mark. I looked at our Facebook correspondence, and it was almost a year ago that I originally asked you to do this, and we never made it happen, but we finally did.
Awesome.
You're stoked.
Yes.
Super
excited.
I can't blame you. Well, thanks, guys, for coming on. I know you got a show coming up here on November 5th, is it?
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about that? Here, pull that right up here.
It's a weird little experiment of an art show. Mm-hmm. Every piece is going to be painted by me and Brooke here. I don't know if I've seen anything quite like it. And the cool thing about it is kind of making like all new art. So it's not going to be like mine.
Right.
So it's like a collaboration between you all.
Right.
Yeah, I got this flyer here. Has an example of it. That's like the first finished piece we did. Also has a title of the show, which Brooklyn, she came up with the title here. It was all her idea. It was hilarious.
So tell me about the title. Without, I know you're nervous. I can tell, Brooke. You want to curse so bad. I almost want to
really
tell you just to say one.
I just want
to
say the F word really
to get it out of the way. Then we can move out of the way. But the title is No One Gives a F About Art. Everybody just wants to get drunk and laid, which is true.
Right.
So is that just how the name came about? What were you thinking about?
No, we talked about doing the show, and Mark said think about a title. And I was just writing down lists, and I had a bunch of really good titles. And during that, it just popped in my head, and I wrote it down just to make him laugh. And then when he saw the list, he's like, that's it. That's the one.
Yep, that's it. Mm-hmm. And, so, I mean, it's true. I mean, I go to a lot of art shows where people are playing pool.
Yes.
Right next to the
I've seen a lot of that, too, especially at the Blue Goose where this one will be.
Right. And people just kind of walk by and glance at it for 2 seconds and kind of just walk along the wall of art.
Right.
So art's kind of a weird thing because it's kind of a clicky type of thing. I know there is some market for it, but it's more of a sideshow. I think, especially in this area now, more than anything. And I guess that's where the name kind of comes from, is that it's a opportunity for people to get together in a place because I'm going to this thing. But how much do you think people actually care about the art that's going on there?
I don't know. We've been trying to go the opposite direction of that, actually, where we have mainly it's an art show. And we have other things that are going on at the same time. For example, the robot show we do. We do it every year. This last September has been the fifth year. And the main part of that is it's an art show. But we also have other things like live music. There's, you know, people are encouraged to dress up as robots. And there's like a contest that goes along with basically everything in the show.
You get to vote.
Yeah, people get to vote for things. So trying to get more interactivity from it instead of just, hey, go here and look at these paintings and walk around and drink for a little bit. More of like, interact, do this cool thing.
Right.
Is that the way it is across the country? Is that what people are having to do, or is that kind of just a local thing?
I have never been anywhere.
I have no idea what's going on anywhere else outside of St. Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. I think probably in the bigger cities like your New York's and stuff like that, there probably is people that actually are proprietors and go in and buy art.
Right.
How difficult has it been for you as working artists in St. Pete to, I mean, I'm sure, no offense, but you're probably not making a living off your art.
No,
I have a full-time job. I couldn't do it. I tried once when I just so happened to be unemployed. And, you know, I was paying bills and everything, but just the nature of being an artist, you'll sell a bunch of stuff 1 month, and you're like, yay, this is awesome, and you have a bunch of money, and then you'll go 4 or 5 months
right,
not selling nothing. One piece.
Has that been your experience too, Brooke?
Yes. I feel like I've just entered the realm of art in St. Pete, and it's sort of, I know it's thriving, or people say that it's thriving, but I don't really see that. I just see a lot of people just walking by and not really paying attention. I think for the most part, the artists pay attention to the other art.
I think the city is trying, but how do you push people that actually have the money to spend it at these local shows?
You need notoriety.
But, I mean, it's the old people with money.
Yeah. Right.
That's who we need to be working on, I think.
Right.
And I don't know how people market that. I know the city is doing this thing where they're sending out these magazines out to New York and trying to make this a destination. They are trying. And the murals help, people doing the murals and paying for the murals. But there's only a few that are actually making a living out of this.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you think that people could do to help you?
Buy art from local artists. Yes.
Yeah, for me, it seems also there's like this mindset where, hey, there's like these 5 or 7 good artists, and whenever someone talks about art, they're only talking about them. It's only like maybe they don't get out there. They don't see all the cool new stuff going on with new artists, or maybe how better everything's getting.
Right.
It'd be better if it was more, you know, discovery, more, you know, letting new people be seen.
Right.
Do you think that could almost be part of the problem, though, having the oversaturation where everybody's carrying around a canvas now and, you know, trying to get into these shows?
Oh, it's getting there. Before, we would be able to do an art show anywhere, pretty much as we wanted. Like, every month we can get that art show at 3 or 4 venues.
Right.
Now it is getting so every place is booked pretty far in advance. I mean,
Blue Goose is we have the show for a year.
It's for November 5th. I think we got this date probably 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, like, wow.
That was the soonest available date we can get that art show. And, you know, places like the Emerald. I know there's art there and you have art shows, but basically there wasn't a lot going on. Now, I mean, I got an art show there in April. That's how far the wait is for even the Emerald. So it is getting pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a good thing, though, is more people are stepping up and doing things, which
yeah.
is great.
Yeah.
Agreed. So do you work with other artists, like pooling your resources kind of thing? Like, let's do a joint, you know, thing. Like, you all are working together for this one.
Every Wednesday night, we have an art meet at Bar 548 and Emerald. And I feel like there's more collaborations going on now, which is great.
Yeah, there's, for the most part, all the artists are kind of, you know they're in the same community and they're all trying to do the same thing, so they work together. Especially like all the guys at Bloom. And
right.
They're, you know, they're our friends. And
right.
It seems if there's something going and it's big, you need help, they will help you.
I mean,
even for Shine, the guy, Pixel Poncho, is making that mural. I mean, it was like 5-6 people from Bloom helping him because I guess he didn't know how big it was. And it was much bigger of a wall than he expected.
You know what I think would help is if some of these museums, you know, the Museum of Fine Arts, the Dolly, put together some sort of local showcase where in the beginning parts they hang up local art. I haven't really seen that ever, and I think that would be definitely beneficial. I mean, where you could have the opportunity to sell prints even if you're not selling real pieces for, you know, $10 or something. People got money there. People are touring all over the place, going to the Dolly, I mean, all over the world.
Right.
I go in there and I feel like a tourist. Whenever I go in there, I feel like, did I just have a stroke? Why can't I understand anybody? And they're all speaking a different language.
Yeah.
Right. You know? So there's got to be ways to make it better, but there's nothing really up front. I've asked a lot of people, and they're just like, yeah, we just need to get people to buy local art. But as far as getting people to actually do that, nobody really has any solid plans other than sending marketing material in the mail.
Right.
So it is a big art scene. There's lots of music, art. How do you kind of, what do you have to do to separate yourself and kind of put yourself apart in that world?
I just try to make, you know, good art, basically. I try not to ever, like, become a part of, like, the mainstream of painting. Always try to do something weird. Basically, I take the whole selling art out of the process when I make it. Just make whatever the hell I want to.
Right.
And, you know, just be kind of true to it and let it stand on its own.
Yeah.
So is there, like, a theme that you've worked in? Something in particular that bugs you that maybe you get out through doing art?
No, I usually paint just, like, what I'm feeling during that moment. There's no real theme. It's just random.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been painting?
For... like showing work or actually?
Well,
painting?
when you started, yeah. When you started, when you started and then when you started showing work.
When I was young, I was a drawer, painter, and I probably started showing maybe like 3 or 4 years ago.
What about you, Mark?
Forever. I was doing art shows, skipping school from high school and coming down here and doing art shows and like some weird art. Tattoo place that's not there anymore. Stuff like that.
Yeah, you were kind of one of the guys that I knew. It was like you, Sebastian, the Olsen guys. So you've been around a while. I know you've been at it a while.
I've been doing like art shows here in St. Pete probably for a good 7 or 8 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So what made you, are you from St. Pete?
I'm from New Jersey, but I've been here for basically ever, probably like 7 years old.
So how did you find the art community? Did you kind of just start doing your own thing? Or?
Well, I started off kind of doing my own thing, whatever I could get into. And then I met this group of artists that, you know, they couldn't get art anywhere. And for the time, they had kind of new, edgy, innovative art. You know, there was a lot of beach scenes and nature and flowers and stuff like that. And they were doing weird... you know, like Rat Fink and weird, crazy, colorful, younger kind of art. So they basically banded together, made an art collective called the Art Cast, and kind of just went around beating down doors. Hey, can we do an art show here?
Well, how long ago was this?
I think that was in 2006, somewhere around there.
Oh, okay, so it's 10 years now, yeah.
Yeah, there was Chainsaw Chuck Majewski was in it, Amanda Styles, and even Bill Wu was in it.
Do you ever worry about that you're putting all this work into St. Pete, you're making it great, and getting priced out so you won't even be able to live here anymore?
Definitely. Yeah, yes. That's happening.
Yes.
Like crazy.
Is there a backup plan if that does happen? Where would you go? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, you could just go somewhere else and start a new thing. Isn't Derek Donnelly doing the Pinellas Park thing?
Yeah, he's going to Pinellas Park, and they're kind of taking the couple of chapters out of what St. Pete did, and they're doing it over there. And, you know, it is kind of the first sign of gentrification, all the murals going up. You know, I mean, places where there was nothing. They offer cheap rent to the artists. They come in there. They make it cool. Then they get priced out. Something goes in there. That's exactly what happened on the 600 block. And especially with Shine, all these murals. I mean, a couple of those agencies that put that together, they have mission statements. And if you really read it, it is basically like development. You know, let's, you know, for business, get a bunch of business in here.
Right,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's part of it. You got to expect that to a certain point. But yeah, that concerns me too, because I'm broke. and I want to be here, but I don't know how long that's going to last.
I just moved out of this area here where you live in, a couple blocks over there, where it's a tiny apartment, $800. And
that's, you know, a studio too, probably?
It was one bedroom. And they're going to raise it to like almost $900. And we didn't want to do it. Person that was going to come move in, they told us it was like $950 that they were paying.
Holy moly.
It was 600 square feet.
I lived at a place catty corner to where I'm at now. It was a dumperoo, but it was $475 a month, and that was 5 years ago. And I even had roommates, so I was paying $275 a month to live here.
So I guess in a way I saw that. I went and bought a house because the rent is just going to get crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be like that for a while, especially anywhere close to downtown here.
What's your day job?
I work at a printing place.
Oh, okay. So like, I guess that kind of helps with your art. You can kind of, you know, sneak some prints off if you want to.
I get them cheap. Yeah. Cheaper.
So is there going to be, there's going to be art for sale, I'm sure, at this show. Also prints, I'm imagining, too.
Yeah, we're going to make some prints as well.
And T-shirts.
Yeah, and a guy from Wove, Print Quo.
Oh, Joey and John.
Print Co. Sorry. He's going to be printing shirts there.
Oh, okay, yeah. Is that John that does that?
Yeah, John Berg.
Yeah, I know John. That's cool. So what can people expect out of this show?
Well, the art is going to be really good. I'm surprised every time I see something. Like, we pass them back and forth, paintings. And they're just wild and energetic, like new, like nothing I've seen before.
How many pieces are there going to be?
Right now, there's, I think, 14, 16, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to get at least like another 5 or 6 out before the show.
Do you do this thing where you alternate? Like, you take a canvas, you work on it for a little bit, and give it to me, I'll finish it up, and vice versa?
Yep.
Yes.
That's what we're doing. Because Brooke here lives in Tampa, and I can't really go over there.
Yeah.
My car's busted and ugly.
So, this is going to be on November 5th at the Blue Goose. No one gives a F about art. They just want to get drunk and laid. So did you do some murals too?
Yeah, I just did 2. I think that was last month.
Was that part of the Shine or was that separate?
No, it wasn't part of Shine, but it was at the same time.
How did you get contracted for those?
The guy at Bar at 548, we kind of have a relationship with them. We do a bunch of their art shows and stuff like that, and he's like, hey, I want a mural going on when this mural festival is happening. And I was like, I'll do it. He's like, great. And we talked. He gave me some money, and I painted a mural. And then while I was painting that, the person that owned the business next door was like, hey, that's awesome. You want to do something here? You can. And I was like, okay. I came back the next day, did something there.
Yeah, that's like a live portfolio that you just have out in the open.
Yeah.
How do people contact you if they wanted to for a mural?
Most of the time, they find me somehow. And they email me mostly. Or they can go to my website, and they got a contact info there.
What's your website?
It is aurelius.com.
So how's it different doing a canvas as opposed to doing a wall?
It's just much bigger. And, you know, it's tough to get the, and it's horrible.
Climb a ladder.
Hot, and I never had one of those fancy lift things yet.
Yeah.
Or even scaffolding. It's only been giant, squeaky, unsafe ladders.
Have you done any murals, Brooke?
No, not yet.
Not yet. You want to?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get her one.
Yeah.
Her art is, it needs to be seen like that, giant.
Brooke, where can people find your stuff?
They can find me on Instagram at Dwight, you ignorant slut.
Is that from The Office?
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right, well, I don't know. You got anything else you want to talk about?
I think I'm good.
I think we're good.
All right. I'm going to go drinking at Wednesday art meetup.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about the art meetup.
We go there and we get drunk and paint on the sidewalk. A good probably 6-7 of us.
Yeah, there's always live painting or sketchbooks happening. And
anybody can go to this
thing? Yes, anybody who wants to come, they come.
Open invitation to all.
And a lot of networking stuff, too. You'd be amazed of, like, the planning. Like, this show happened out of that.
Yeah.
The Robot Exchange happened out of that.
Right.
A couple other good shows, too.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's do this show. Okay, let's do it.
Or even just, like, singular pieces. You get together with another artist and you bond in some way and you say, let's do something, and something amazing happens.
Right on. And that's every Wednesday at Bar 548. That's 548 Central.
Right.
And 8 p.m. it starts?
Yes.
Is there like a Facebook page for that or anything if people wanted more info?
Yeah, there is. I think it's called St. Pete Art Meets.
Yeah.
Or St. Pete Art Meetup or something like that.
Before you go, what struggles have you had? Because I can think of one off the top of my head that bugged me. And I think I messaged you about this when it happened. You had a mural up in the back of an alleyway near Green Bench Brewing. And somebody decided to cover, what is it, a three-panel thing?
Yeah, it was like a triptych kind of mural. The wall was framed out where there's like three sections.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it'd be cool to kind of use that. And then the guy, there was no one in that business while I did it. And then I think a month later, this guy, he moved in. And he took it offense to himself, like, why would anyone put this there? I'm such a bright and bubbly person.
Yeah, he considered it negative.
This is black and it has words. I don't like it.
Yeah, it wasn't his cup of tea, so he went ahead and decided to just cover it up.
Yeah, first it was
one of his friends
or someone. Right. Well, he blamed it on one of his friends. Like, and he faced the hell out of it.
This guy is semi-prominent. He has his own art form that he does. You would think that he would be understanding of that and maybe show some respect to.
I think he should have been understanding, because that's kind of like his whole kind of claim to fame.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why is because he was put in a situation where he was defending homosexuality and homosexual rights.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also kind of weird, because it doesn't seem like that could be the same guy.
Right.
To me, it's like, how could he do that and then be, like, for no reason, so ugly about that?
Because this was, it was a triptych, but, I mean, it all came into one.
Yeah.
So now half, or one-third of it's gone now.
No, there's only one piece left.
And did somebody else cover it up?
Yeah, when he covered it up, I guess the other business owner in the middle was like, cover that up, too. So you only have one.
So he asked permission from the landlord to cover this thing up.
I asked the guy, one of the guys that owned the business on the end. And I showed him a picture, exactly what it was going to look like. And he went around and showed it to the other business owners, and they liked it, and they were okay. And even the, I guess who they rent from, showed it to him, and it was okay. I did a Kickstarter to raise money for supplies. The picture of it was on there. And so that's like a month and a half ahead of time before I actually did it. So it was all cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, then that happened.
I only saw screenshots from the, because I know a Facebook war went down where there was both sides, you know, fighting against each other. Some people were on his side,
too.
Some people were on your side, and other local artists got pulled into the discussion. People were kind of tagged into it. What was the general response of the artists around here to that?
I don't know. I had to stop looking at it after a little bit, honestly. I mean, I saw it, and I try to be cool about it, just be like, you know, he was posting pictures of it, and it was like, this is so ugly, and I hate it, and it's shitty. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
And whatever. And I just kind of put, hey, that's only one part. Can you show the whole thing? And then I put a picture of the whole thing, and that's kind of all I wanted to say about it. But I did see, yeah, people were like, you know, he can have his opinion, and if that's what he thinks, that's fine. And other people were like, well, that's really screwed up.
So this is part of it, though, right? You're under the understanding that this is not going to last forever.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I didn't expect it to last anyway.
But it was, what, How much time was it up before?
I think it was up for maybe a month.
Yeah,
and that was it. Yeah, it should last a little longer than a month.
Yeah.
So, do you have any sort of contact with that person anymore? Or?
Well, I work right there, so you know, I've been staring at that wall for 2 years before, and I always thought it'd be cool to do this exact thing. And he has his business there, so I run into him and I see him, and you know, at first he was weird, but he's getting progressively weirder.
He is going off the deep end.
He was trying to talk to me about it, and he was, you know, and his tone was apologetic, but at the same time, he was still, you know, kind of being whatever.
He's a nice dick.
Yeah, so I had to be like, just whatever. I'm not going to do anything to you. Don't worry about it. Just, I don't want to talk to you about it. Don't talk to me ever again. Just look at me. And I felt a little bit bad, too, because when he painted those walls white, so many people were going over there and just kind of doing whatever they want to, like giant phallic shapes and stuff. And somehow people were coming into my job and talking to my boss about it.
Because they assumed
me. It wasn't. And I had no intention of, I didn't care. I mean, yeah, I've been around a long time, so it didn't really... I mean, if it was like a new artist or somebody new, I can understand how that would be like really bad. Me is kind of like, I was able to shrug it off a little bit. So there's no need for me to do anything bad to that guy. But other people took it upon themselves to do it. And I don't know who they are. I mean, I kind of do, but not really.
Yeah.
Every day there was a big phallic thing on there.
Didn't they catch one guy recently or something?
They caught some guy that was a graffiti artist.
But he had nothing to do with it.
I don't know. I couldn't tell, really. I mean, just by them drawing penises on there. I couldn't tell.
And he got this... he had a bus, too, that was vandalized.
Yeah, he had a bus that somebody came and... I mean, I thought it was part of the design at first. Because, like, there was this one stripe in the bus where it was repeated, the graffiti.
You know what was funny about that I thought was he made the video that somebody tagged it pretty much with spray paint. And, yeah, that's kind of not a nice thing to do. And he started a Kickstarter he wanted to get it replaced. I paid $300 to get this bus painted. And then he was asking for like $5,000 or $10,000 or something in the Kickstarter. Don't you need $300?
I don't know.
That always
I used to park right there by that bus. It just like took up so many parking spaces. Everyone that works around there parks in an alley.
Yeah.
All this King Street food, the Bavaro's place.
I spoke to them the other day. Yeah, they had something to say about it too. When you just do stuff and don't ask, you know.
And someone was living in that bus.
There
was like mattresses and curtains and stuff in there.
Dude, I was in King's the other day and some girl with no shoes just walked in, dirty feet. Asked for a cup of water, and then left. And that's one of his.
Yeah, there's like a little gang of...
miscreants.
Yeah, like little hippie guys and girls.
That's bizarre.
Kind of live there. I think they live in there.
Yeah.
Just whatever.
So what's the lesson that you could say you learned from that during the whole thing? Because I was annoyed.
I don't know. That was kind of weird for me. I don't like to think about it, but it's kind of like, hey, art is still powerful. It can still, I mean, you don't really want to elicit a negative response, but it can still move people.
Why not a negative response, though?
I mean...
A response in general, I think, would be
all right. There was really nothing negative about that mural. I mean, a little part of it talked about gentrification. Another part was, like, I don't know, people look at their cell phone too much. And
that's great.
There was nothing really bad on there. I don't understand how it was taken so badly, but only really one person...
Because
my knowledge was offended by it at all.
Because it was dark. It was literally, the colors were dark. Yeah. I think maybe if it had a rainbow in it, it would have been a different story. But just for that one little reason, because he didn't understand it, it went ahead and got covered up.
Yeah, and he never asked me about it. I could explain to him.
Yeah, he knew you. It's not like
that negative.
And yet, weren't you kind of like buddies or something? I mean, you kind of like knew each other at least?
I never met him before. And it was interesting because I was like outside of my smoke break listening to him like give speeches in front of 10 people about how horrible my mural was.
Oh god.
And I think I
like what do you remember anything in particular?
No, not really. It's just like, man, this guy calls himself a muralist. Look how shitty this is. He missed a spot in this. And
this guy preaches love and connections with human beings. He's a phony. I got a bad vibe from him from the beginning.
Well, he just got to live with himself, I mean, at the end of the day. Whatever you
He's struggling with that, I think, though. And that's when you see the more eccentric. I'm not trashing this guy. I mean, I am. But at least I'm not using his name. But, yeah, that didn't set well with me. And yeah. Karma, I don't believe in karma, but maybe in this instance. Well, it wasn't karma. It was just people taking up the call to arms.
Yeah, and half the time I was mad at him. Half the time I felt bad for him because I can't understand that. I mean, if I hated some public art, hated it, there's no way in hell I'm ever going to go to face it.
Right. You just say that's not my cup of tea and move on. It's not like he's seeing it on a regular basis going out his back door, but whatever. All right, guys, thanks for coming in.
Check out
the No One Gives a F About Art. They Just Want to Get Drunk and Laid. The Blue Goose, Saturday, November 5th, 8 p.m., 48 9th Street North, right next to Engine Number 9.
Thank you.
Anything else? Social media or anything?
Yeah, tell them. Never mind.
About what?
You can't promise they'll get laid.
Oh, we will not promise that you're going to get laid, but there's a possibility that
there's
you can get
chance.
Laid. There's a good chance.
It's up to you, folks.
It's up to you.
Any social media or anything? Twitters? Or?
You can just put Aurelius in anything and probably get something for me.
Brooke?
He's under, in Instagram, he is Aurelius_artist.
You don't even know your own Instagram?
And I am Dwight, you ignorant slut, on Instagram.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you all very much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
All right, there you go. That was the homemade broadcast for this week. Thank you, Mark and Brooke, for coming in. It's always a slow start with artists. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're just perpetually drunk, or I think what it is most of them are introverts, too. So it's hard to pull it out of them sometimes. But I'm glad I got to ask Mark about the his mural that was covered up. That really did bug me. If you've listened to this podcast for any period of time, you probably know exactly who I'm talking about. There's just some people that are phonies. And they promote a certain thing on their Facebook and their Instagram. And even in life, maybe. And then underneath, you look under the rock and you find, they're liars. But, anywho, I'm glad I got to hear Mark's side of that story. I knew it wasn't really too much that went into it. I just wanted to know if they had spoken and maybe hashed things out. I didn't know if they were friends or not. This other dude's friends with a lot of people. But I've been around the town. I've talked to people. And it seems to be a mixed bag as far as this fella goes. But whatever. We're going to keep it... I'm not going to say we're going to keep it positive. We're going to keep it real, folks. We're going to keep it real. And, you know, you got to use your own judgment. But anywho, we're not going to name names. We may not keep it positive, but we're definitely not going to name any names. I think most people know that story anyways, if you're into any sort of art scene around here in St. Pete. All right, anywho, thank you very much for listening, tuning in. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes to keep up with the shows. Ian Beckles' Dignitary Radio Podcast, James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast, and this here program, The Homemade Broadcast on Radio St. Pete. Listen to the City Hall broadcast on Radio St. Pete Mondays, plays throughout the day. I believe the first airing is at 7:05 a.m. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for... The Jazz Show, Frank Rivera, and coming up after that is the Indie Circuit here on Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on podcast, go listen to another podcast. Facebook.com/HMB Radio, Twitter, home_made_man. My name is Will Kuntz, Homemade Broadcast. See ya.